49 years ago this week, on January 22, 1973, the United States Supreme Court handed down their decision in Roe v. Wade. That decision legalized abortion in the United States, and since then, approximately 62 million Americans have been deliberately killed in the womb. This is Dr. Jim Tomkiewicz, and you're listening to the After Dinner Scholar from Wyoming Catholic College. Not long after Wyoming Catholic College began, students organized Cowboys for Life in order to speak for the protection of the unborn. Cowboys for Life has organized trips to Marches for Life in Denver and San Francisco. They've been active praying at the corner of 2nd and Main here in Lander during the 40 Days for Life. And they organized an all-night prayer vigil on the eve of the oral arguments in the case Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization, the case that may overturn Roe v. Wade. The current president of Cowboys for Life is Wyoming Catholic College junior Jill Cook, and I asked her to tell us about how she became so active in the pro-life movement.
I grew up in the Chicago area and have always been involved in the pro-life movement. I remember being really young and praying outside abortion clinics with my mom and standing on the side of the road holding pictures of unborn babies. And I've just always been blessed to be part of a family who's really pro-life, and they've been supportive of me in all of my endeavors since then. So I'm really grateful for that.
How many Marches for Life have you been to?
Oh, I've been to two in D.C. and maybe six in Chicago.
So, wow. Does any experience from March for Life, any of them, stand out in particular, and for good or for ill?
Mm-hmm. Yes. One, I remember my first trip to D.C. I was with a group from St. John Cantris in Chicago, and we passed by this display showing pictures of aborted babies, and we had been chanting throughout the whole march, but when we got there, we started to sing this song called Luli Lula Lule by Philip Stopford. And the song is like singing a lullaby to the babies who are about to be aborted. And that was a really touching moment for me, realizing that some of these babies we won't be able to save, but the most we can do is sing to them. And since then, I've just loved that song, and we sing it whenever we pray for 40 Days for Life here in Lander, or whenever I pray at abortion clinics back home. It's one of my favorite moments that I remember from the march.
Now, I've been to a number of marches in D.C., and what impresses me most is that it's like this giant, almost entirely Catholic youth rally.
Mm-hmm.
That's been your experience as well?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I will notice banners saying Atheists for Life or Lutherans for Life. But yes, I do think that the majority are Catholic, which is a good testament, I think, to the Catholic faith that so much of us are united on this issue.
Well, now, your folks brought you along and sort of built into you a life ethic and a desire to do something about this. Do you think, is that what's happening? Or is, hey, you want to go on a trip to D.C.? Cool, we can mm-hmm. go to D.C. I mean, is there a seriousness about it? Is it you know, the signs that say we are pro-life generation or generation yes. pro-life, do you think those are accurate from your mm-hmm. point of view?
I do think that there is definitely an element of adventure in kids wanting to go to this thing that they've heard about, that they see on the news. I remember when I was in seventh grade, I was going to go to the march because I had friends who were going. I ended up not being able to, but I think that a lot of times it might be initially stimulated by just a desire to have fun and hang out with your friends, but once you get there, no one ever really forgets what it's like to be around hundreds of thousands of pro-life people and to really rally around this recognition that life is beautiful and sacred. I think you end up leaving there with a desire to come back, not because it's just a fun trip, but because you actually are sending a message to our country that life should be defended.
Now, I know you were a part of the prayer at 2nd Street and Main Street here in Lander for the 40 Days for Life, and then the recent, prior to the recent oral arguments in the Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. How did people in Lander respond to that?
Well, we did the 40 Days for Life rally at the end of September until the end of October, and this was the second year that we did it. And I think that it was majority positive. In the very beginning, there was a group of young women who, I believe from the high school, who would protest against us and try to take our spots before we got there. And as soon as they left school, they would come for a few days in a row in the very beginning. But they stopped coming, but we kept coming. And most people gave us thumbs up instead of middle fingers, but there were definitely some people who disagreed with us. Although I think last year we had more opposition than we did this year. Last year, almost every time I prayed out there, someone would come up to us and talk to us, and usually they would disagree with us. But this year, I only got positive people coming by talking to us, so I think that was an improvement.
Well, if they're coming up and disagreeing and doing it civilly, that's a good thing.
Yes, it is a good thing. I think it's more important to be charged, even if it's on the negative side, than to be indifferent toward the issue. I'd rather people be really angry with us as they drive by than to not care, because at least they're recognizing that there is something there that they're reacting to, and it's not like abortion isn't important.
Now, the Dobbs case before the Supreme Court was argued on December 1st, and we expect a decision probably in June. And that decision may overturn Roe. Tell us a little bit about that. What will that do?
It's important to know that if Roe v. Wade is overturned, it doesn't mean that abortion will be made illegal. It's not as if we're putting into the Constitution a law that says abortion is always wrong, but it will bring it back to the states, which I recently heard that if Roe v. Wade is overturned, there will be about half the states would make abortion illegal, or at least very restricted. Unfortunately, I know that Planned Parenthood and the pro-choice side has plans to start opening abortion clinics near the borders. So if there's a state that's pro-choice next to a state that's pro-life, they'll put their clinic right on the border so that the state next door who's pro-life, the women there, can just come over really easily to get the abortion. So it by no means indicates that the fight's over. We still have to continue to defend life and do it state by state, but Roe v. Wade being overturned would be a huge step in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Now, this sort of gets at the same thing. If Dobbs overturns Roe, what would Cowboys for Life end up doing? Would just dissolve, or are there other things to do? Or?
Oh no, we would definitely continue. We continue praying, of course, like we always do. We do weekly rosaries. We do 40 Days for Life. We do all-night adoration vigils. We did the night of the Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health hearing on the night of November 30th into the morning of December 1st. We did all-night adoration. Even if abortion is made illegal everywhere, there are still women who need help. And that would be something that Cowboys for Life continues to do, is to help the local pregnancy center, to do the baby bottle drives and the diaper drives, and to help with the fundraisers, because even if abortion is overturned and it's never allowed in the country at all, which would be beautiful, there are still women who are in difficult circumstances that need our help. And being pro-life is more than just being pro the lives of the unborn, but it's being pro-lives of women and families. And so there will always be things we can do for foster care, for pregnancy centers, even if abortion is completely outlawed.
I should have asked you earlier on, what are the activities of Cowboys for Life? You mentioned all-night adorations, weekly rosary,
yes,
and helping with 40 Days for Life. Mm-hmm. What are some other things?
Well, we helped the pregnancy center with their annual fundraiser, with helping seat people and getting ready for that event. We do a lot of just meetings within the club, educational meetings we've done. We have a little team of researchers who will look up statistics and will come up with pro-life arguments, and we'll discuss them at our meetings. We'll do apologetics nights. Recently, we had the author of an article talking about who really wrote Roe v. Wade, Sue Ellen Browder. She lives here in Lander, and she graciously agreed to come to our last meeting, and she told us about her story and talked a lot about the origins of Roe v. Wade and how it was decided unconstitutionally and how it was based on a book of lies. We will go tabling at the University of Wyoming. So it's a beautiful thing that Wyoming Catholic College is mostly 100% pro-life, but it also means that we don't have as much opportunity to practice our apologetic skills with people. So we've had two apologetics practice nights this semester, and in October, I took a group of students down to Laramie, where the University of Wyoming is, and we set up a table with a fetal development timeline, and we had sticky notes, and we would ask students as they walked by their student union, which is like their main hallway, we would say, can we ask you a question? And sometimes they would say yes, sometimes they'd say no. But if they came over, we would say, when do you think human rights should begin? And we would hand them a sticky note, and they would put it somewhere on the timeline. And the options were conception, implantation, heartbeat, brainwaves, the fetus's ability to feel pain, and viability, and then birth. So out of those options, we had over 90 responses, and 64 of them ended up being at conception, and 32 were elsewhere. And they didn't all end up being at conception, the ones that were there at the end. A lot of them were at heartbeat or brainwaves, and we would just have a conversation with them. And we'd say, well, why did you put it there? If they put it at heartbeat, why did you put it there? And so it really gives them the opportunity to think, well, why did I put it there? Why do I think human rights should begin at this spot as opposed to this other spot? And then we'd be able to practice our apologetic skills. And a lot of them ended up moving it to conception, or at least closer to conception than they did in the beginning. So that was a lot of fun.
Now, as you look at your future, you're a junior, right?
Yes.
As you look at your future, how does pro-life activism fit in?
Well, I'm not exactly sure what I would like to do, but I do know that I want to be involved in the pro-life movement for the rest of my life, in whatever capacity that is. I have been considering nursing school, which I think is very related to the pro-life movement, like pro-all life, unborn and born. Obviously, if I work in some pro-life industry, that would directly give back to the movement. But just continuing to be active in praying outside abortion clinics and in just conversations with everyone that I meet. I love talking to like my hairdresser or people at the grocery store about abortion. I think that people need to talk about it more. That was one thing that I heard from the tabling event, is people just thanking us for being there, even if they disagreed, because they were just never given the opportunity to think about things. And so even if you're not being confrontational, just asking people what they think about abortion often plants a seed that later God will help blossom into some fruit.
As anyone who's attended the March for Life in Washington, D.C. can attest, the idea that the pro-life movement is full of cranky, old, prudish killjoys is far, far from the truth. The movement is a youth movement and has been for decades. Our young people know instinctively that killing babies in the womb is wrong, and with only a little encouragement, they develop a passion to save lives. At Wyoming Catholic College, we're proud and supportive of our Cowboys for Life and pray with them for an end to abortion. For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz.